G3 assistance through Virginia's community colleges is your pathway to a new future. Get a skill. Get a job. Get ahead. Learn more at vccs.edu/G3.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Live from a Zoom call.
Wait, what? You guys couldn't see this. What was that you just did? That round them up over your head.
It's a flourish. You got to wind up the intro, you know, it gets the people jumping.
Like you got a finger in the air, swinging a lasso around your head.
I think I do that every time. You're just now noticing.
Oh, wow. It was more aggressive today than maybe.
It was more pronounced for sure. Yeah.
Was it?
You had the crazy eyes too.
Well, I backed away from the mic so I got more room to really just get into it.
I'm worried about your rotator cuff.
Yeah, it's hurting quite a bit. I'm 37. Everything's hurting.
Threw his shoulder out.
That was my twirl.
Pull a Sammy. Pull a Sammy.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Too soon.
Too soon. It was like 4 years ago.
That's still too soon. 10 years.
It worked
10 years.
Out.
Here we go. Ready? Live from a Zoom call emanating from Lando Lakes, Florida, and for the first and last time, the Thunderdome. It's the new day. Feel the power. Take it away, fellas.
What? And points. Oh my God, we got to put this on the video.
You have to
see this. I wish you could see this right now. What a twirl and point. Wow, aggressive.
It was something.
Yeah, this is weird. So I am Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
And I am Kofi Kingston.
And where are you guys? Where are you emanating from?
We're emanating from the Thunderdome. From
I said that.
Well, you did, but you didn't delineate who was at the Thunderdome and who wasn't.
So well, you're the one from Lando Lakes.
Okay. But who knows? Like, Lando Lakes is just down the road. They could have been here, and maybe I was there.
We're at your house, and you're at work?
Yeah, maybe.
And why aren't you here?
Yeah.
You legit live, 20 minutes from here?
Yeah.
We could have had a live podcast in the flesh.
And why didn't you offer us a sleepover?
Yeah.
Look.
Why aren't we there?
One, you guys, anytime I've offered, you never want to come over. Two, I'm half an hour away and not like half an hour from, you guys are close, not that far from the airport. So the Yuengling Center where the Thunderdome is, isn't that far. I'm way out of the way. So you don't want to come all the way out here. There's a lot of reasons. And I also don't want to be there because I just don't want to go to work, to sit around and do nothing.
Do nothing great, amazing content on this wonderful, amazing podcast that these people have dedicated their lives to listening to. Do nothing.
You're telling me people have dedicated their lives to listen. What does that mean?
To listening to the podcast. They take a section of their life that they could be doing anything else in the world. And they said, no, I'm going to listen. There's some people that tweet us every single week. And they say, oh, it's the best day of the week. The new day. And we bring joy to their lives. This is not nothing, sir. Mm-hmm. So to some people, this is everything. It's the opposite. Some people, this is everything.
Wow. I don't know if there are any people who exist who, for them, the podcast is everything.
Listen, for those of you who it is, disregard his words.
Yes. Even if it's one.
Well, if the podcast is everything to you, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about your health. I'm worried about your mental health. I'm worried about your sanity. Surely there's more to life than this. There's got to be. There just has to be.
Oh, do you see somebody hit us up about the burial plots?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. No.
They got some for us?
No. No, they didn't get us any. No. That'd be a little forward. A little bit.
They made a donation.
Hey, guys, you know, I feel like the podcast, I went ahead and got you guys a three-person burial.
Whenever you're ready.
I don't know. Possibly.
God.
I don't know if I'll be able to find it. But he said, I want to say something about being in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
You had them.
Okay. You got a discount.
Yeah.
Overseas. Across borders, rather.
Well, yeah, you guys talk. I'll find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really weird that we're so me and Woods are sitting next to each other, but I still feel like I have to look at the Zoom square and look at you on the screen and not look at you directly to my left.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's really strange. It's really strange being in this situation. This is awkward.
Yes. I didn't get into who I am. For those of you who don't know. What?
What a transition segue. Well, I didn't get into who I am.
Well, I mean, just for the sake of, you know, getting through the beginning the way we normally do.
Of course.
I just thought I would tell a little tale.
Oh, please do.
Who I am. My name, a lot of people refer to me as Big E. It's not Biggie. you know, you got to put a little pause in there. It's not B-I-G-G-I-E. It's just big E. And I don't like when some people call me Mr. E, but then it sounds like mystery. And that's weird. I'm not going for some enigma or something. It's just big E. And it used to be Big E Langston. But for those of you who listen every week, I don't even know why y'all are giggling and laughing. I'm just trying to explain a little something about myself. Just trying to talk to the people here about myself. But now it's just Big E. You know, things have changed. I don't want to get into it. There's been I get a lot of flack for it. I get a lot of, you know, heat from you, you know, big heat from
big heat.
Yeah. At the last New Day meeting we had, you know, just to
did you get your dues?
No. I didn't. I'm a little behind on my dues.
We got that gala coming up, sir.
Yeah, right. But I saw Kof was actually taking the minutes for the meeting. You know, we rotate whoever takes the minutes, you know. And I saw...
You don't want me on the numbers. Trust me.
Why is taking the minutes... George, you can finish. We'll get to that.
Well, I was just going to say, I glanced over and I saw in his notes that he did not care for the Big E Langston explanation. So I'll try to wrap it up real quick. But for some reason, the idea of us having group meetings to go over New Day business and taking minutes is funny to me.
It's not my personal notebook. That's not what minutes are. I'm just
no.
Instead of taking out what's happening, I'm saying, I don't really care.
Yeah. It's not checking what's happening at all.
You editorialize at times, too. So.
And why is it called minutes?
I don't know. That's a great question. I feel like we're always looking at words.
Because you said you're not the numbers guy, and I'm like, but that, oddly enough, has nothing to do with numbers.
No.
Unless the math conference.
Well, don't they know the times in which things are set, or no?
Every time you write, you got to write the time, but people are always talking.
Well, from, you know, 3:45 to 5:20, they talked about such and such.
Is that
I don't know. I've never taken minutes before. I don't know.
Is that how? I guess I don't know what would stop you from doing that at certain times. But I don't think. Yeah. I don't think there's much math involved here.
You don't think?
I don't know enough about minute taking. Is it even called taking minutes?
So stenographer is in court and they like do shorthand with the typewriter, right? So do people do taking minutes do that too? Are they stenographers or are they just writing down what's happening at this meeting?
I am, but to no real avail. It seems to be very loose. I don't know if there are any hard and fast rules on taking minutes. There are suggestions, of course, but I don't.
Another question then, I'm sorry, it's taking me down the rabbit hole, hard and fast. Like, why is that a thing?
It's a great question. If we were supposed to look up all the things that we said, we'd never get through this podcast.
Never. But the thing about if we stopped saying things that we didn't understand, what would we say? Or like where they came from?
Very little. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I don't know the origins for. So I'm sorry to disappoint you.
What is there a profession where someone is a professional knower of the origins of phrases? I know like Latin is like an origin language, like you get like the origins of a word, but the origins of phrases, is there a thing for that?
I mean, I'm sure there are people who study etymology and write books about them or teach classes about them and whatnot and origins. And I don't know. I'm just guessing here.
You want to get to the origins of your name? Is that where you were going? Is that the transition now?
No. I'm done with all that. I'm done with all that.
Are we done?
Okay. Yes.
We finished, but we done.
I could tell Kof wasn't approving, so...
Sir!
So I decided to move on. I don't want to upset you, sir. So I'm moving on.
Oh, I'm still picturing you like looking over my shoulder as I'm taking the minutes. And you
just, oh, God. Looking on the glasses at it. Oh. I never.
Oh, yes.
Why would this? He doesn't like this at all.
I feel like I've been talking a lot, so you can read the.
This is it. This is the quote.
Yes.
To Austin Creed, True Kofi, and WWE Big E. Regarding the double decker burials here in Mexico, you can get a 4-person plot. For instance, in the same hole are my grandparents and 2 aunts. Kind of normal down here.
Wow.
So it's a thing.
Yeah.
Great.
So we weren't as weird as we thought. It's a thing.
So is it illegal in the United States? Do I have to go to Mexico to have this done? Or is it just not common?
Oh, see, I don't know about all that. I don't know. But, I mean, you're going to be dead anyway. Yeah. What do you care where they put you, you know?
Well, true. But I just don't know about the ability to transport bodies across, you know, I know, like, you know, someone, if you were to die in Europe, I'm pretty sure they can bring you over because they're bringing you back to where you belong. Oh, but can you go somewhere where you don't really belong? You don't really, I don't belong in Mexico. But maybe this is the reason for our Weekend at Bernie's idea. Like, oh, they won't allow a dead body across. But
we got to get you across.
Yes, oh, I have to cross the border. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because what? Oh, but this is a weird progression of movies. Because if it's a trilogy, you're gone first. And then it's one of us. And we have to single-handedly Bernie's the brother down there. And then the last one to die has to, how do they get down there?
That's oh, yeah.
The movie is just the dead one, last dead one of us in a room just for 2 hours being filmed because nobody can take them.
No, it'd have to be, it'd have to be our kids.
Oh, take kids.
Right.
So Ryan and Ryan.
Or your kids.
They got to band together and which get is, us down there.
Whoa. Which is why I just can't, I can't be last. So yeah, that sounds about yeah.
No, maybe you have to be last so that you can tell them all the stories about us.
Yeah.
Well, you can't because you'd be dead too. You'd be dead. Before
you die. Whenever you die, like, as you're telling the stories and, you know, I don't know.
I think we're onto something here.
Is you're ill and you know it's going to happen. Everybody knows it's going to happen. So you go, hey, guys, I'm going to go ahead and just go down there and wait because, you know, it's my time. And then the kids all go, you know what, Uncle E, let us go with you. And they, on the trip, you tell them all the stories about Bernie's, you're doing the Bernie with me, doing the Bernie with Cove and getting down there. And then on the plane ride, after you tell the last story, you go to sleep. And when the plane lands, they nudge you to wake you up and you're not there. And you've just given them all this knowledge on how to Bernie somebody. Now they got to Bernie you through Mexico to get you to the border they got to go.
You know what we have to do? On the flight leaving the Mexico right now.
They get off on the connection.
Yeah. But they landed because of bad weather, so now they got to rent a car to get you down there. But you're the only one who's old enough to rent the car.
Yes. What if I have to hide like by your feet to press the gas so that when you like you're checking out, you give them the credit card?
Wait, hold on. This is real tragic. If the kids aren't old enough to rent the car, that means we're dying. We're all dying within the next, what, 20-something years? Less than 20 years.
Not even. We get it, but it's for the movie.
It's for the movie.
But we don't know. We can't know the future.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
If it's going to be sad, make it fun.
Right. It's got to be, if it's going to be a kids movie, we got to put the kids in there. So we got to go. So it's more marketable that way. You know what I mean? Kids are it's got to be a kids movie. So we got to have kids in there. You know?
Is the trilogy you come, it's just straight to TV on Disney?
I'm on the end of this. It's right up my alley.
Whoa.
I wish you were here, E.
I know. I'm just down the road. I mean, I could have been there, but I just... I did offer it. No, I offered it as a suggestion. Remember that. I did recall. I did say, hey, I'm willing to go to the Youngling Center.
Who did you say that to?
I said it to the team in a text. I was the one who suggested it. Yeah, and they said no need.
They said no need to come?
Yeah, no need.
Then he washed his hands up. Said I did my part.
And I was done.
I'd have had you here.
Yeah.
I'd have had you here yesterday, you know?
Look, I'm battening down the hatches. You know, there's Elsa is on the way. By the time this airs, Elsa would have passed. But right now, when we're shooting this, recording this, it's a Tuesday.
I thought you were talking Frozen. I said, Elsa's coming?
Yeah. Is Anna too?
Who's Elsa? Wait.
You know, the name of the storm that's threatening your flights to go home? That you give her, you know, that one?
That's regular stuff.
That's
every week.
Man, speaking of this is like really random. So I just had a memory come up on my phone. I think my son had just turned like 3 and we had like a Spider-Man come to like, you know, I'm Spider-Man kids. And it was the worst. I wish I could like get the footage. It was so bad. It was so bad. But I was loving it because it was so awkward. So anyway, I was thinking like, you know, you invited like an Elsa to come over and like spend the day at your house. Like in some part, that's where my mind went. That's where my mind went. But of course, you're talking about the storm.
I don't have any kids.
That's why I was kind of weird. You know, I mean to each their own. Because I mean, I'm sure that if you're paying the money, they'll still come to your house and like entertain you if you know, for what the occasion is, right?
That's weird, Cove. That's real weird.
That's what it was. But then I was getting weirded out. But then I realized like you were talking about the storm, and I said, oh, he's not going to invite someone dressed up as Elsa to his house where he lives by himself to entertain
him.
That's not what he's doing. He said, it's a matter of fact. Well, yeah, I know. I got Elsa coming over.
We got some DVDs. We don't got Redbox. There's a lot of stuff that I missed.
You did have a sushi chef come to your house. So that's what I'm thinking is that I don't know.
Well, that's different. That was a gift from y'all, which I very much appreciate. And there were other people here. There's at least like three, you know, Celeste was here as well. There are multiple people here. I would not, for one, we're talking about spending money. So that's not happening. Two, how bored do you think I am that I would hire someone to just entertain me for an hour or so and then leave?
Why not?
You said that you have to be bored to do that. You couldn't just want to do that?
I wouldn't. I'm not, no judgment to anyone else. I would not. I will say one of the things you did remind me when you were talking about Spider-Man is that, you know, from time to time, I'll see on like Twitter or whatnot, you see those videos of like party Spider-Mans and whatnot. And sometimes they're like absurdly athletic, doing cool dances and whatnot. For some reason, there's just something about like a Spider-Man or an Elsa or just a grown man or woman in costume break dancing or doing b-boy stuff. It very much amuses me. So I appreciate anytime I see those videos.
It's, no, this dude was not. This dude was not.
It's not good. Okay.
It's not that.
No popping, so, locking.
And all the adults were looking at each other, just like, what is going on? The kids didn't know what was going on. He's trying to make jokes, but he's not funny. And I'm loving the awkwardness. I loved it. It brought so much joy to me. It was amazing.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. You guys are currently at the Youngling Center, as we've talked about. I love that it's very close to my house and that I don't have to step on the plane. That's what I do love.
Yeah, the convenience.
Yeah, it's great.
What are you going to do now?
No, dude.
You say that 30-minute drive, you drive this 3 hours and then get on this 4 a.m. flight.
How far do you think the airport is from my house?
I'm saying when you're on the road.
Oh, now that we're
going to be. Okay. I thought you meant I was driving 3 hours.
Been out the game, bro.
Yeah, I don't even know. It is weird. I will say, it is weird, like, relearning how to pack a bag or to travel, because I had to go to L.A. We were all in L.A., a month or so ago, and it was weird going back to the airport and trying to remember how to do everything that I do. My bladder is currently full, so talk amongst yourselves. I will come back.
A little BP time.
Bring the mic so people can hear the bass.
Just let it listen. The bass?
Yeah. So yeah. Who's talking about having, like, you put some bass in your urine?
What?
To make you sound like, I don't know, like just some intimidation. So when people hear the, oh, wow.
He's got are you peeing in like AK-47 spurts?
Well, you,
what is
I'm just saying, I can't imitate it because I don't have enough fluid in my mouth. There's not like a bowl of water here that I can imitate it. But if you pee like in the middle of the water, it's like, it sounds more forceful.
Oh, because it's echoing in the.
Yeah. And I don't know the reverberations. I don't know the exact science behind it, you know? But when people hear it, then like subliminally, they, you know, it's like an alpha. Yeah, see what I'm saying? It's like an alpha thing. But this dude got some bass in his pee, you know? What? He's got some bass in his urine. Wow. And they respect you a little bit more, you know?
They respect you. When you said it, I was thinking like a thick stream. It would be louder than like tiny stream. So, E, to bring you up to speed.
Yeah, we were talking about having some bass in your urine, right? So, because you didn't.
Sorry, what?
So you left and I was like, oh, bring the mic. And yeah, surely if you would have heard me, I think you left before you heard me, you probably would have taken the mic in there if you wanted to hear like the bass in the urine. You know what I'm saying? Like if you pee right in the middle of the like the water in there and the reverberations inside the porcelain, depends on what kind of toilet you have, obviously. But like the more bass you have in there, it, you know, when people hear that from outside the room, you know, it causes you to kind of like turn around and be like, wow, he's got some bass in there. And you respect the individual as soon as they come out of the bathroom a little bit more. So you missed on gaining some respect. Across,
yeah.
You know, you want people to salute you.
You got some bass in that.
If you would have brought the, you know, and maybe you'll have to go to the bathroom again. There's no bathroom in here. Otherwise, I would do it. But since you're at home, you know, you bring the microphone in there and then you have the bass in there. And then everybody who listens to the podcast, the same people that dedicated their lives to this podcast, will respect you that much more, and then you're more likely to get that salute that you've been trying to get, you know, over the past few months. So that's what we talked about while you were gone. Yeah, that's
okay. Kof, I say this with all due respect, but what is wrong with you?
The boy's touched.
Clearly.
Someone gives you a piece of information, sir, to gain respect in the streets otherwise. That's what I'm met with. Wow.
Kofi, has there been any situations where you heard someone urinate and there was a lot of bass and you then respect to them, like you dap them up when they come
on? It's like the head nod when you see someone who looks like yourself. You know what I'm saying? You give each other like a little nod of respect. It's the same thing when they come out of the stall, you make eye contact and you, okay, I see, I heard you, bro. I hear you, bro. You know?
And they give you,
and we know, and hey, you don't dap them up because they haven't washed their hands yet. That's disgusting.
I was trying to catch you.
But you ain't gonna catch me on some hygiene, but you give them a little nod of respect, and that's all. It's you pay tribute and you understand. You know?
What do you mean, someone that looks like yourself?
Someone, like another human being, usually someone who is a male like yourself. You see each other in the streets. You see each other walking by, and you say, hey, you a little head nod, mm-hmm. just a little acknowledgement of humanity. Mm-hmm. You've probably been through similar situations. You know what I'm saying? You look at each other. Hey, I see you, bro. You know what I'm saying? So same thing. I hear you. Same nod. Same nod. Little nod.
Also, sometimes a nod of surprise.
Yeah.
Oh. There's two of us.
You know? Didn't expect to see you here.
This is a pleasant surprise.
I didn't expect to be here, let alone see you here, too.
I thought I was going along for at least the weekend. This is great.
Well, I will say, what you are clearly referring to is nodding another brother, another black man. It's very customary. You know what I realized a little while ago? But I nod in different directions for strangers. If for some reason, if I see a black male or a woman, men, like black man versus white man, I'll nod a lot because I go on walks. So I like to say hello. Sometimes I'll throw up I tend to throw up a wave for women. I think it's just, and it's not like, these aren't predetermined rules, but I found myself, I go up for the brothers, I nod up for black men, and I nod down for white men or non-black men. And I'm not even really sure why, but it feels more like you nod up and you kind of keep it up there for, hey, brother, I see you.
Yeah.
I know we're both going in the world, going through this world with this dark skin, you know what I mean? I'm feeling you. Stay up, brother. And then to non-black men, it's down, just like, have a great day. Hope all is well. Enjoy your walk. Live a good life. They're still both very positive. So I don't think there's any, it still comes from a good place. But for some reason, the brother head nod is up. It's an upside.
So mine is guys like around my age, I nod up. And then older black men, I nod down. I see it as like a bow. Like,
right.
Hey, I know you've been through some stuff. Thank you because you made it a little bit easier for me. Right. I appreciate you. And then other brothers like, same age, just, okay, what's up? And keep walking, keep it moving.
I think you might be right. I wonder, I gotta start paying attention.
I know.
I think older, I might also go down a downward motion for older black men. I'm gonna start clocking this. I gotta start taking notes on this.
It's like that video of the Key and Peele, the Obama skit.
Yeah.
Where he's going down the line. Still tap him up. See you, John, brother.
Get handshake. Hello, sir. How are you?
It's a thing, though, man.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
That's funny. I wonder how that, again, I wonder how that started.
I have no idea. Because, I don't think anyone really teaches you these things. Not directly. You probably just learn from watching other people, watching movies and film and whatnot. And it just feels natural to do those things,
Because the head nod up is, I'm super comfortable. What's up? What's going on? Like, how you doing? And the nod down is very, like you said, it's extremely respectful. Just, how are you?
Yeah.
How you doing? Good to see you. More out of the way. Like, you do your thing, I do mine. Right. I don't want to bother you. When you're comfy.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about your farewells? Did you, are you going to say goodbye to my great city? I know you'll be back at some point, but... it was several months. I can't remember when we started at the Youngling Center. We've been bouncing around for a while. I can't recall.
Yeah, it was, well, when basketball season started, that's when we got kicked out of Orlando. right?
Right.
We couldn't be in there because basketball season was starting, but I don't remember exactly when that started.
Then we went to the Trop. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We went to the Trop too. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had to leave the Trop because baseball season started.
Baseball season started, yeah.
Man.
You're kind of around, man. I don't know, man. And I say this a lot as far as like the Thunderdome, like I understand for people at home how like awesome it is to be able to see like a live show and to be able to, you know, see yourself on TV. But I'll be honest, man, it is strange being in there. So when I came back, because, you know, E, you were doing your own thing for a while. And then I came back to the Thunderdome after it had been going on for like, I don't know, a couple months or something. I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. So then, of course, the music hits and I come out. And you know, you're so used to hearing the fans and there's nothing there, right? And they'll like pipe the sound in, which is like cool, I guess. But then I went in and I started kind of like, you know, you'll go to like the backside and kind of appeal to the fans if they're normally there. But the fans who are watching on the screen are seeing my back, right? So they're not going to react the same way they do at home as they would were they at the live show. So the energy is just different, you know? And we always get there. We're able to kind of like, you know, manufactured and get it up and all that. But I don't know if I'm going to miss the Thunderdome as much as some people might. You know, it was a cool situation, but I don't know. The live crowd would be a lot better.
Yeah, this was definitely best case scenario for the situation at hand. Again, like you said, really cool, but there's no real substitute for like human energy. And once we had that, so like when we went out there for Mania, and we talked about it, how like it just kind of flipped that switch and we lost our minds. Like you can't like fabricate that. You can't make that happen for people who are wrestling and like essentially like in a studio. So Thunderdome, so cool. Such a like great idea for what we all just went through like with COVID, but people in the building is just a completely different thing.
Especially with us, you know what I mean? Cause like we will mess with the people even more than the mats sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, here we go. Ah, yeah, there's a match going on, but we're out there and we're just like just going back and forth with the people. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that. However, the flip side of the coin is that, you know, we've been able to spend so much time at home with our families. For me, that has been the most amazing thing. I know I've said it a few times on the podcast, but to be able to, you know, like go to all my kids' baseball games and every single practice and wake up in the morning and be like, what you want to do? Well, I don't know. And then just like have the day like unfold as it does, as opposed to being like, oh God, I'm only home for a day and a half. We got to get all these errands out. Okay, kids, you're going to come with me. We're going to go do this boring stuff. Okay, let's do some fun stuff. And you're like, you feel like so much more just rushed to get through everything. So I don't know if I'm looking forward to that aspect coming back. Hopefully we find kind of some an in-between, you know? But we'll see. We'll see. It is what it is. If anything, like we kind of stole a year at home that we weren't supposed to have. You know what I mean? Like, especially with kids, like there's a lot of moments that we're not supposed to see being in this business. You know what I mean? Like we're supposed to be away and we miss so much. And to have been here for a year, be home, and, you know, it's you just can't get those moments back. So I'm eternally grateful for those moments. And I'll always kind of have a positive vibe when I think about the pandemic, even though it did bring so much, I guess, turmoil and trauma to a lot of people.
Agreed. You know what I'm interested in too is just how much the live crowds will dictate the show, or like certain guys thinking like, hey, I'm in a great spot, I'm beloved, I'm over, and then you get in front of people, it's like, not so fast. But hey, that could be me too. It could be me going out there thinking like, oh, I'm the man, and I go out and it's crickets, and I think, ooh, I gotta change something real fast.
But that to me, like, I love that, because that's what wrestling is, dude. That's what it's supposed to be. Go out thinking that something's gonna happen or that something's gonna work, and then it doesn't, and you having to adjust and find something immediately, like, there's not like a better feeling on the planet than like solving that puzzle in that 13 seconds that you have to solve it. Like, oh my God.
And having, you know, the immediate feedback.
You know,
you took them for a ride. You know what I'm saying? Like, you weren't satisfied. Okay, I changed it up. And now you were. I did my job. You got what you wanted. It's a great feeling.
Yeah. It's very hard to get that vibe in front of screens.
Yeah.
Even though you see people, don't have that immediate response from them like that. And again, it's like, it's that energy. So yeah, you might hear something, but like when you're in there, and you guys know this for the people listening, like you, it feels different. There's, and we talk about this, there's like a pulsing energy that you kind of vibe with and work with. And so the fact that that's what wrestling is, and the fact that people haven't been able to go see wrestling live for so long, I feel like that's going to be through the roof for at least the first couple of months, because everybody's getting their energy out, you know? They've been trapped inside. So it'll be cool to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. There's and also just your ability to work for the crowd. I know we did a WrestleMania too, but it's been so long, and so much of what we do is dependent on crowd interaction too with our gimmick. I think the beautiful thing is, I think we were always smart too, and I think this is just the best approach, but I think there's some people who are kind of like gimmick wrestlers, and if they don't have the crowd reaction, it's not the same. But then, you know, like I feel like at least we always strove to have such good in-ring work that we weren't dependent on just being a comedy group or, you know. So yeah, it's, that's why I don't think we suffered too much. And I think you guys actually, in many ways, the pandemic was quite good for, you know, the position where you guys have been positioned the last several months and holding down Raw, having bangers after bangers. It's been beautiful to watch. Also still thinking of like Woods and Riddle having a great match, incredible match, and how buzzed about that was.
It's interesting because like you just said, like some people rely on certain things. And I feel like most people would think like our stuff is like very like gimmick heavy as far as like us being us and our personalities always being like up to the max. But again, so like you were saying, Kof, like that comes from the interaction with people. So when that's not an option, what do we all have to rely on? Like, not just us, but everybody on the roster. What do you rely on? You rely on your in-ring work. And so I feel like in this situation, we've been very blessed to be given opportunities to kind of show out. And I feel like people got reminded, like, you know, like they've been wrestling for a good while. Like they know what they're doing and they can go in the ring. And so I think that's, like you said, is a plus from what's been going on and how the show has been working within the pandemic. But again, now people realize that not just about us, but about a lot of people on the roster, I feel they're seeing them shine in those ways where they might not have had that focus before. So when we go back to people, now you get to mix that with the energy of the people. And I feel like you're going to see a lot of people rise because it's a rising tide raises all ships situation. Because I feel like the majority of the people on the show have been like crushing, you know?
E, what are you doing to this dental floss? You are violating.
He's using it in his teeth. He picked his nails with it.
No, I didn't. Quit lying.
Run the tape back.
I did not pick my nails with it.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
I think it's because we have you on like 21-inch screen here, so you're a lot bigger.
Why am I so big?
Well,
Big E.
You're Big E. I mean, clearly. Yeah. So it's just different. So we're seeing all the details, but you're really getting in there with that dental floss. Your teeth clean. Get all the plaque out.
Yeah, I mean, I like to make sure it's free of plaque and buildup. It's important, you know.
If the social clip could be E saying that I did not do that and then showing the clip of him doing that, did they just put the Rick James?
Look, I might have twirled around like my finger with it, but I wasn't digging in my nails to get debris out of my nails.
Digging in there.
300%.
No, I was not. I might have been doing like that appears to be, but it's not. You
dug in your nail and then put it back in your mouth.
First of all, I also washed my hand to just like wash my hands. I washed both to see. to clear that up, because they'll use it against me if I don't clarify. But I washed both not that long ago. So even if I was, which I was not, digging in my nails, it would still be fine.
Oh, so you're just giving us irrelevant information?
That's right.
I speak a little Spanish.
Oh, nice. Let's hear some.
Todos mis amigos que hablan español conmigo en colegio se mueven a otros países, so no tengo que personas a practicar conmigo. My friends that practice with me in college all move to different towns, countries, países.
No?
Yeah, I think so. What did I say?
Países.
Okay, I think towns.
It works.
They moved away.
That's sad. I'm sorry to hear.
It is. Let's hear some of your Spanish.
I didn't take Spanish. I took Latin like a fool. I went to a prep school. Yeah, I don't. First of all, Latin is not a conversational language, so we never learned to speak it. I suppose it helped me on my SATs. At least that's how it was sold to me. So, yeah, that's why I took Latin. But I couldn't. I know puer means boy. It's about all I've retained, I think. Yes.
You said SATs. Do you think the simile portion helped you with anything in your adult life?
No. I mean, you can make a contention that very little of what you've learned in high school helps you in your adult life. Very, very little.
Wild.
Oh.
I'm going to stop. I have a lot of opinions. No.
We this is the time to showcase all your opinions.
Okay. So it's weird to me that we're pushed to learn so many things that are not useful to like anyone, unless that's like your chosen profession. To like, I don't know what, if you are bad, if you're great at similes, what, like you become like an SAT question writer? Like, what do you do with that? Like what skills? Like I would have rather learned, like, how do I balance my checkbook? How do I start up savings accounts? How do I, you know, do interviews? How do I write a resume? Like that stuff that would have been interesting. And it's like, oh, and if I do want to learn a trade, okay, you know, let me take more science classes. Let me take more, you know, geography classes because I want to like travel the world, like whatever. I've always felt that you should be able to start pushing yourself in the direction you want to be, go as an adult earlier than college. Because I saw a thing and they were saying that, oh, all these millennials are, you know, spending their money on the Wall Street and buying like GameStop stock, and blah, blah, blah. This is irresponsible. And it's like, you guys realize you ask kids who are 16 to 18 years old to pay like $30,000+ for these like loans. So it's like what, like $150,000 to go to college. And you want this kid to gamble with that money and go to college in hopes that they get a job of paying it back. But it's dumb for them to gamble their money on Wall Street, where they might actually get a quick turnaround, you know, and they'd be able to pull it out and do something else. So it's, I've had a lot of feelings about school stuff and education, yeah. Just the way that it's done. I believe education is extremely important. You need to understand how to do it. I understand a college degree sometimes is just a piece of paper that will show an employer, I'm willing to do what I'm told for years, so you should hire me. I get that. But at the same time, I feel like we should be able to turn it around, help people get specialized opportunities earlier in life so we can have more productive adults later in life.
I think that's sound. So are you then planning on homeschooling your children?
No.
They just get what they get?
No, because I mean, it's as the way the world is currently set, that is part of the process, unfortunately. So in order, I feel like the way that adult lives are set up a lot of the time, you have to, it's helpful to go through that because you're going to have situations where you have jobs where there's bosses who don't understand how it is on the ground level. And they're telling you to do things that don't make any sense. And you know that you shouldn't do it like that. But if you don't, you'll get in trouble, even though you did it correctly. So like you have to learn to essentially like let someone fail themselves before then you can step in and do what's right, which is gross to me.
Yeah. And so speaking of like homeschooling, that is a big reason on why we do it, too, is because, you know, especially the way that we do it, we kind of do like this unschooling method where it's, you know, child led learning. If my son has an interest in, we talked about, so he was listening to like some epic rap battle or something that shouldn't have been listening to. They talked about like Guy Fawkes versus somebody. So he was like, who's Guy Fawkes? And I'm like, I don't really know who Guy Fawkes is, but you know, he's like a historical character in Europe or whatever. And so now we get him like a little book about Guy Fawkes. And now he's like more willing to learn about it because it's something that he's actually interested in. My wife and I were just talking about how you would have like your summer reading list, right? And they'll give you all these books to read. You got to read this by next year. And a lot of them, like you don't really want to read. So you're not enjoying the reading process. Now your process, your mentality towards reading becomes like a negative one because you don't enjoy like the material. Versus having a subject that you are interested in, you're all in, you know what I mean? And like you learn. So even with like, speaking of reading, like, you know, Kai, my oldest son, had an interest to like start reading, you know, pretty early age. I'm like, okay, great. We'll teach you, you know, letter by letter, sound. And now he's reading like, great, you know, we homeschool. And at a certain point, you're thinking like, man, I don't know if I'm really like doing this right because I grew up in public school. Is he learning at the right, quote unquote, rate? You know, does he like know what he's supposed to know at this age? Like, who makes those lists, right? Like, we all kind of get to the same point eventually. But what we found is that like through this like child-led learning, just like your hunger for knowledge can be just, you know, satiated more because you're learning what you want to learn at a young age. Because we do it as adults anyway, right? like what you have an interest, you want to pursue a career, you start learning about it. I want to become a wrestler. Geez, what do I have to do? I'm going to do whatever I have to do to become, you know, the best and or learn all those fundamentals. Like, so yeah, it's a real interesting like school of thought when you think about like public school and versus homeschooling. And there's obviously benefits and I guess drawbacks to both of them. But I think that everybody's different, right? The way in which you learn and retain information is different. So if we cater to kids in the way that they want to be taught, to me, it's, you know, it just makes it more fun for them. And kind of, at least that's the way it's worked so far. We're still in the we're in the process. You know what I mean? It's not over yet. But yeah, I think it's really interesting the way that we choose to like educate, you know, because like you were saying, there's an element of like, well, if I'm going to work for somebody, I kind of have to, sometimes you got to learn how to eat poop. You know what I'm saying? And like learn how to do that. But if you want to run your own business, you want to like, you know, work for yourself so you don't have to listen to that person. Mm-hmm. Okay, go outside, go run your own lemonade stand. Okay, get the kids of the neighborhood together and think of these recipes and ways that you can like go out and, you know, you're literally like a little entrepreneur. My sons and a couple other kids in the neighborhood made like $65 at the neighborhood selling lemonade in like 4 hours. Like, what? Bro, I said, what? Like, this is crazy. You're so, first of all, like for you to like get all the lemonade, go out there, make it. It's hot out there. You built the stand. You're waving people down. You're out there. You're working, man. Yeah. My son is 8. My youngest son is 5. You guys are, well, what are you going to do at $65? You know what I'm saying? And they split it 4 ways, but it like, you know, just like fosters teamwork and all that. So it's just so interesting watching kids grow up and what they learn. And it's really exciting to think like, man, like, because you're doing this now, like, where is that going to lead? Yeah, like, you know, goosebumps, bruh. I'm a goosebumps guy. I got goosebumps just thinking about that stuff, man. It's wild.
So then, when they take the connection and land in Mexico, they won't have any money. So they make the lemonade stand because Kai and Orion go, hey, Griffin River, we made $65 in 4 hours one time. What do we need to get this burial plot to get him in? Because they raised the prices. Since the last guy croaked, you know? So they do the lemonade stand in Mexico City, and they got you up dancing and stuff. Hey! Maybe they do an autograph session with you. Entrepreneurs, man. They get the plot done. Dude, it's coming together.
When Cope was talking, it reminds me of, you guys probably don't care about this, but I'm really invested in college athletics as a whole. There's something called name, image, and likeness that just took off a couple weeks ago. But essentially now players, not just football and basketball, not just the revenue generating sports, but in all sports, now you can monetize your likeness, your name, your image, all that jazz. What? So it doesn't mean, awesome. Yeah. So it's long overdue, but now these players can have brand deals. They can have cameo accounts. There have been certain players, too, who said, hey, I'm going to donate a percentage to all my teammates. There have been others who said, hey, I'm going to, there's a kid, I can't remember exactly which player it was, but he said like 10% of everything I earn with NIL is going to go to like this kid in my hometown who's fighting cancer. So there are a lot of positives that come from it too, but it does make me think like, oh, that's kind of cool in many ways because you're able to make some money for yourself. But also if you're in college and you're learning how to, maybe you have to hire an agent, maybe you have to learn how to invest. It's almost like learning a marketing or business degree on the fly in a very practical sense, as opposed to just learning it in text too. So I think there definitely is something to a more practical based style of learning and education.
Yeah, just something, just allowing people to explore what they're interested in. Because I feel like when you're in high school, I didn't experience this, but I saw a lot of my friends experience this, like teachers or counselors, whatever, pushing them in certain directions. Like, oh, well, if you want to be this, you got to do this. Or if you want to do this, you got to do this. So you should do this, this, and this. And it's like, what about what they want to do? Mm-hmm. Because once they leave these halls, they'll be in somebody else's halls, still living out what you said they should do. And then they're not actually happy. Now they're like dropping grades when they took out these loans. And now they're not going to be able to pay them because they won't finish in 4 years. And they got to go 6. And they got to transfer schools. And now they're stuck doing things that they don't want to do in order to, and they're behind the eight ball at 18 years old, you know? Right. So it's like, man, if this person would have said, you know what? I love music. So let me, I'm in band, I'm doing all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, I want to go to college and do something, but I'm not sure what. To have the focus on music and doing all that stuff and let them take like general things. Or maybe they just hit the scene and start playing music in Nashville and they start traveling around and doing stuff and getting experiences, like whatever that is. But this idea of just pushing, essentially pushing children into taking out loans of hundreds of thousands of dollars is one of the most absurd things about life to me. Like, this is just normal. What are we talking about, dude? You want kids who sometimes come from no money, no nothing. They don't have a cent to their name and they got a $150,000 loan in hopes of getting past an intern level job because they don't have experience when they get out of college. So now nobody's going to hire them. Like what is this system? I'm sorry. I'm going on.
Wow, it's real.
Very passionate about this.
I'm with it.
That's great. That's great. It's been long overdue. You know, you think about like all the money that colleges make from the presence of student athletes, whether it be a D1 football team or basketball team, whatever, and the students like being forbidden from, you know what I mean? Number one, you know, in my opinion, like the colleges should, I mean, give the kids a little kickback, which is actually like not what's happening now. They're still not paying the kids, but at the very least, they should allow them to be able to go out and, you know what I mean? Like just get sponsored. I mean, get endorsement deals where they should also be able to capitalize because they are the ones who are putting in the work, you know, like if you don't have that star running back, like people are probably not more, you know, the businesses are probably not more likely to come to the colleges and give them that money. So like, why shouldn't the person who is literally providing the source of income for these colleges, why shouldn't they be allowed to, you know, like capitalize financially, man, in a tangible way. So this is, it's huge, man, that they're able to do this.
Did this come out of the NCAA game? Is that when this started?
No. So it's hard to really pinpoint exactly when things, I know. So Ed O'Bannon, you're referring to EA. So EA used to make, for people who don't know, EA used to make every year, they would make a college football and a college basketball game, and it would do really, really well. They would make tons of money. I would buy the college football game almost every year. Probably my favorite video game franchise. But things, they stopped making those games when Ed O'Bannon, who actually I talked to, you guys remember Tony Loughman, but for those of you who don't, he was Tony Dawson. He was an announcer here with WWE probably, 2013, 14-ish? Maybe even earlier. Actually, even earlier than that, because he called some of my NXT matches as well in probably 2012 or 13. Anyways, he was teammates with Ed O'Bannon. Not teammates, but he was the manager at UCLA when Ed O'Bannon was on that team. So he knows Ed well, they're friends. But so he would tell me years ago how things were going with the lawsuit and whatnot. So Ed O'Bannon sued the NCAA, and I think it was a class action lawsuit on the behalf of many athletes, because he was arguing that the NCAA and other companies should not be allowed to make money off of the name, image, and likeness of student athletes without compensating them. So instead of EA saying, hey, we're making a ton of money off of this, we're just going to shut it all down. And I get to this it was probably difficult to figure out, like, how do we abide by the ruling of this lawsuit and get it done?
I feel like, too, also, so, like, them as a company they're dealing with NCAA. So just like we've experienced before, and sometimes when you have that middleman, so middleman being NCAA between the talent, the players and EA, the game company, it's sometimes easier to just to cut loose because the middleman is doing things that might make it more difficult for there to be a resolution. So I completely understood. Like, they're just like, okay, well, this is weird now. It's crazy. You guys handle your business first, and then we'll jump back into double dutch. But you guys got to deal with this.
Yes. But EA just announced recently that they are making a video game. It's still going to take a few years to come out. But yeah, the announcement of NIL and so there are certain states who have passed NIL laws as well, because a lot of states don't want to fall behind. If you're an alumni at the University of Florida and you see other states passing these, you say, hey, I don't want to fall behind in recruiting. I don't want my favorite team to fall behind in recruiting because players at a high school are like, hey, I'm not going to the University of Florida when I can go to the University of Texas and make money off of my name, image, and likeness. So it's interesting, too, because not only do we have to like balance what is permissible by the NCAA standards now, but also what states have passed certain laws to allow student athletes to make money off their name, image, and likeness. So I don't know. I personally find this stuff fascinating. I find like the culture of sports and entertainment to me is often more interesting than the actual product they put on, like all the behind the scenes stuff and why rules are made. So I think this is really interesting, especially as like a former college football player, and how the landscape is changing. And it's just, you get to a point too where like Dabo Swinney, who's the coach at Clemson, makes $9.3 million a year. I think that's his base pay. And there are no restrictions on like years ago, the alumni at the University of Alabama spent $3 million just paying off Nick Saban's mortgage. The head coach at Alabama, because there's no restrictions to. And Nick Saban has so much money. He doesn't need, it's not like he was in need of someone paying off his mortgage, but because there were no regulations or no one stopping them from doing that. So you have these, you know, at, especially, I'm not saying this is all across the country, but at the bigger schools, they're just making so much money. To me, it feels even more exploitative to have a coach making $9 to $10 million a year, and you have players who can't afford cars, you know, just a little car to get them from their off campus apartment.
People who are there because like they are great at what they do and they were lucky enough to get a scholarship, but like this kid's trying to do this so that he can hopefully get to the NFL so he can like get his family some money because like their times are rough. And so when you have situations like this, it's like, man, all this crazy talent. And these people who are crazy, well, he's going to go pee again.
Well, here we go. Take the mic.
Why did he run like that?
See, you don't want respect.
He doesn't have to run.
You don't want respect.
That's weird. Mouthful of water.
Mouthful of water. He was spilled to the top. He just ran off to go to the back. He was spilled to the top. Like a cup about to spill over. He's going to come out the front or come out the top of the bottom.
We should end it before he comes back. All right. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's New Day podcast. Make sure you check me out on Up Up Down Down on YouTube. Just search Up Up Down Down. Check us out on Monday Night Raw, USA Network, 8 p.m. Go to uddshop.com for all your Up Up Down Down apparel and go to wwshop.com to get our New Day shirt.
Yeah, you can catch me on the Twitter at True Kofi and on the Instagram at True Kofi. Buy our t-shirt. Watch Laser Wolf for Big E. You know what I'm saying?
Don't follow him.
Don't follow him. And that's all we have time for today.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
How dare you? How dare you? The cojones on you. How dare you?
It's over. You can stop your recording, guys.
No, you're supposed to
stop.
You're supposed to just keep talking.
Cut.
No. You're supposed to just keep talking. Like I was still here. And then no one would have been wiser. And then I could have just hopped back in.
Well, you ran away. You
ran away so fast, like you were being chased through your house by...
I was trying to be quick.
By Elsa.
Yeah, Elsa. Is she there? She's over there tapping her wrist.
She got the hand. She's about to freeze you up.
You only got 40 minutes left on the clock unless you want to pay more, big guy. Finish up.
Yes, that is what happened. No. What's been happening is I've been drinking a lot of water, and I'm trying to get my weight down. If I'm going to meet you at 245, you know, I got to get my water intake up. So that's the plan. 245.
You're drinking even more water?
Yeah, even more water. I'm drinking a ton of water.
You have like 6 gallons now?
I don't know. I haven't really been counting, but it's I probably should count.
You can drink too much water, can't you?
Yeah, your water.
Yeah, you can.
Your cells might drown. Then we got to burnies you.
We got to burnies you. You're supposed to go last.
Yeah, dude, we need the movie. Come on.
No. speaking of, we need an update. We need an update on your progress.
So every night before bed, well, here, if this goes in the video, I have a plate of chicken and a ton of white rice. So I talked to Jinder, who is his body is incredible. I don't have another word for it. He's huge. So he heard me over saying it, and then later in the day, he said, I came over and said, hey, are you serious about this 30 pounds thing? I said, yeah, what's up? He goes, well, what are you doing? I said, I don't know any science about the body. I know if I eat and work out, I have muscles. That's literally it. And he goes, oh, well, check this out. Do you like, do you want any help? And he's like, yeah. So he starts sending me stuff. He's telling me all these things. So like, I don't know if I'll gain 30, but I've been eating every night until I want to puke before I go to bed.
Wow.
Like my stomach feels incredibly tight at all times throughout the day. I'm eating till it hurts and I don't like it. But I will say, when I was working out, I felt, and I know this sounds so ridiculous because it's been like days, I feel like more fulfilled, like filled.
Stout.
Yeah, stout.
Stout is the word.
I guess. Yeah. I know I haven't put anything on yet, but I feel like my upper body is like, yeah.
It's boiling. It's bubbling under the epidermis.
I'm about to get a little belly on me, though.
Hey, and so what?
And so what? Have you stepped on a scale?
No, I have not.
Okay,
we can do weekly scale updates. I'll bring the scale with me. Well, I'm not bringing a scale with me. I'll just find one. Yeah, carry the scale over the shoulder, and it's not even digital. It's the regular scale, the manual.
Okay, I respect it.
Last thing, because we gotta wrap things up, because we gotta hopefully do this thing. Did you guys ever mess with the scales? You know how sometimes at grocery stores they have the big scale?
Yes.
You ever get on them just to check?
They're nice. I like the digital one is nice and convenient, but I love the Publix one. Is I don't know what you call it, but it's the old school, and it, you know, the seeing that the hand go all the way up and down, it feels very classy. It's a classy way to weigh yourself. It's a very large scale too.
And seeing the needle just go, and then it stops and comes back, and
right?
It,
yeah,
wavers a little bit.
Okay, it's beautiful. I've been in the 250s, so I might actually yeah, 245. You and me. I like, yeah, for the longest time, I was trying to get as big as possible. Now I'm off that, mostly because I don't want to keel over at the age of 36. Trying to prevent that. So I'm 35 for the record, but I was just jumping ahead. You know, I'm trying to make it to 35,
36, 8. What's the difference,
bro? All right, do you want to do your part of the intro since you were absent for it before?
Did you guys really close?
Yeah.
No, yeah. you gotta redo the clothes. I can't just.
Yeah, they killed it. It was perfect. Perfect.
I didn't say our heroes rock. I should have said our heroes rock.
So just do your part and then we'll be good.
What else is there left to do?
Just say our heroes rock and then he'll cut.
Yeah.
our heroes rock.
Hey! Right.
And then you'll splice it in? Okay.
See you guys next week.
No. That's an improper way to close the show. Come on, just do it again.
I'm not talking about splicing it in. I'm talking about leaving all that in there. This is just a long, long outro.
Outro. For the people, for the dedicatees.
Yeah.
Dedicatees, you know?
No one has dedicated their life to this.
You keep saying that. You're going to get
not with that attitude, yeah. You know?
Whether we can or can't, you're telling the truth.
You know? All right. Well, I don't know what else there is to say. I'm at WWE Biggie on Twitter and on Instagram. Since y'all refused to do this the right way and start over, I got to build off of something. You know what I mean? You got to John Stockton me, you know? I'll call Malone. I can't take it up the court.
Only because they know stuff.
That's fair.
You did a good job.
No, I didn't.
Also, so I feel like it was fair because you took a sip of water and then your eyes bulged out of your head like you were about to pop, and then you ran away as if your body was that full of water. Like it was about to come out of your ear.
You can't spill a drop. You cannot spill a drop.
Well, I was hoping to keep pushing it, and then I realized that I couldn't push it anymore. So that's why I had that reaction.
The exact moment.
Got that Hornswoggle bowel system.
Stop it.